Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God Chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen, it's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer requests and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Before whoever is going to announce, I forgot to say that today was Pamela Carter's birthday, so we got to tell her happy birthday. Happy birthday, Pamela!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Pamela!
Happy birthday, Pamela!
Happy birthday, Pammy!
Happy birthday!
Is there no announcer? So I'll go ahead and take it. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning once again. My name is Dion, and I want to welcome each of you to Declare Victory. Can you all hear me well? Because I'm on the app, so.
Yes.
Okay. Amen. First and foremost, we just want to welcome any guests and visitors that may be on the call at this time. I'm sorry, hold on, I'm waiting for my computer to respond. I don't have the line up. There are a couple of announcements. The first one is, don't forget to mark your calendars. Yay, yay, yay. The gala is coming, and the gala will be held April the 2nd. There are additional details in the Victory Room, and there will also be an update on the DeclareVictoryGala.com website. Please go there to get additional information. As well as today is Wait While We Wait Wednesday. Today is a day that we set aside to push back our plate. It may be something that you separate yourself from, such as Facebook or idle conversation, just simple chit-chat. And we meet back here at 5 p.m. every Wednesday simply to celebrate our great and awesome God, and we'd welcome you to join us this evening at 5 p.m. Also, for those that have agreed to volunteer, Declare Victory is hosting the Hospitality Division of Officer Gus Vegas's on Friday. We will be serving at the repast. Again, thank you so much for those that have agreed to volunteer. There is a thread that's been created to give you update information so that you know where the meeting posts are and the attire, as well as time of arrival. We want to remind you all to make sure that your phone is on mute to protect the continuity of the call this morning, so that those that listen can hear the information without interruption or distraction. We also want to encourage you to take advantage of the Declare Victory app. You can go to your basic Play Store and find the Declare Victory app, simply stated Declare Victory, or you can just Google us and find the app as well as the website and any additional electronic information that we have available. Today's online prayer request. For some reason, my computer is moving really slow. I do have the lineup, but if there are any, I can't get to them. It's not opening in my apologies. And lastly, the order of the call this morning. I apologize. By chance, are there any first-time callers on the line this morning? Any first-time callers? Amen. Well, there will be an additional opportunity to say hello after the prayer call itself takes place. So this morning's lineup, the scripture will be read by Ruth Ann, declaration by Tanya. Our first prayer warrior will be Petey. Our second prayer warrior, Bernice. Third warrior, Marcus, and Carol is closing us out this morning. Once again, the order of the call is as follows. Ruth Ann will be reading the scripture. Tanya, the declaration. Prayer warrior number one, Dee Dee, Bernice, Marcus, and Carol will close us out this morning. Once again, I'd just like to remind you, please, ma'am, please, sir, place your phones on mute so that we can make sure there is continuity on the call. With that said, I now pass you to Ruth Ann for a scripture reading this morning.
Good morning, family. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. This morning I come to you from Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31, and it reads, "Have you never heard or understand? Don't you know that the Lord is everlasting? Don't you know that the Lord is everlasting God, the creator of all earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youth will become exhausted, and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Again, that's Isaiah. That's verses 28 through 31. Thank you again. Have a blessed day. I pass the call.
Good morning, everybody. I pray that all is well and that you are able to hear me adequately on my wireless headset that will sometimes go in and out, but I'm hoping that the volume is just right for you all to be able to hear me. I'm also hoping that we've taken that extra step to mute our lines to protect the continuity of the call, and that you are double-checking right now, even as I am saying that. You might even want to double-mute yourself, because there will be no conversation, at least until, or not conversation, but there should be no other activity at least until we open it up, Carol opens it up for collective prayer. And I want to say thank you to all of those. I didn't hear all of the names, but thank you to all of those that participated at the beginning of the call. We're so happy that you are with us this morning, and thank you for Ruth. Thank you for reading that scripture. And I want to go ahead and get started, if you will allow me to. I'm really excited this morning. Since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. The whole truth is on display so that those who want to see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable God of darkness. They think he can give them what they want and that they won't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They're stone blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. No. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners for Jesus, for you. Yes, you. It started when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. Have you ever looked up in the sky on a dark night only to see, please disregard that last portion. I just read to you 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6 in the Message Bible. I woke up this morning preaching to myself, not out loud, in my spirit. And all I could remember were some key points that I will share with you a little bit later. What I want to do now is show you how I will take the scripture text and I will allow God to minister to me and speak the truths as he reveals them to me. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go by the scriptures and I'm going to break them down in segments, in three different segments. And I'm going to go back and forth between the Message Bible. I purposely wanted to read that to you because it's easier reading, and it would be really fluid. But I'm going to go back to the King James Version as I begin to explain it to you because that's where I got my foundation, the King James Version. And the translations are a little bit different, and which for me gives the meaning. It gives stronger meaning sometimes. Hopefully that will make sense to you. But the Message Bible for me, it just opens it up and it allows me to be able to get the surface, if you will allow me to use that term, surface understanding. But I'll go back to the King James or maybe another version to get more of the meat of what the writer is trying to say. So let's start off with something that stood out for me. And then what I will do is, I will go back. Those things that jump out at me, those things that go, oh, it makes me go, oh man. I will take note to those words or that particular sentence, and I'll want to do further study. I will want to break that down a little bit further. Sometimes I will even, I've said this many times before. Sometimes I will even go to the dictionary and look up a word. Even I might be familiar with it, but I want to get a better understanding of what the writer is trying to say. So the title of my declaration, even though this is going to be a study, the title of my declaration is We Are the Lights, plural. We are the lights, okay? So let's go back to the third verse. When I look at that verse again, I'm going to read it one more time. Since God has so generously let us in on what he's doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. Who is the we? First of all, who wrote this text? And what we are we talking about? This is Apostle Paul, who was on a missionary journey, and he happened to be with Timothy, who was his protege. Somebody needs to mute your line. You must have called in a little bit late and didn't hear us ask that you mute your line. Thank you so much. So he was on they were on a missionary journey. They were literally spreading the gospel throughout the world at that time. And so they wrote this is a letter that Paul wrote with his, you know, he penned it himself. Somebody may have transcribed for him or whatever. But at any rate, he wrote this letter to them, and he was giving them, meaning the Church of Corinth, which is why it's called Corinthians. He wrote this letter to them. And he was explaining some things to them about light and darkness. And if we move on to the fourth verse, actually I'm going to jump back over here to the King James Version just so that I can keep the continuity. But I love the way that King James phrased it. He said that, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So in other words, they were not trying to keep secrets. They were not trying to put their own mix in and come up with some other type of deceptive ways to be able to share the word. That's not what they were doing. But again, looking at verse 3, he said that, but if our gospel be hid, that was the term that the King James Version used. And it's very, very important to where I'm going that I'm using the King James Version. It is hid to them that are lost. The Common English Bible says if the gospel be veiled. Either way, if you think about a veil is used to keep you from seeing through the fabric so that you can't see what's behind the veil. In Middle Eastern countries, women still wear veils because they hide their face for cultural purposes. If you are in a room, back in the day, they didn't have a bunch of doors, and so they would put these thick curtains up to separate the rooms. You could still hear the noise, but you could not see the activity on the other side of the veil. So that's what he's talking about. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Who are the lost? Those that are yet in sin. Those I'll just call it what it is. Those that are sinners. They habitually sin. It's not like they did something. They accepted Christ. They made a mistake. They have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So they live in sin. But there's a mastermind plan behind why they are living in sin. So let's go a little bit deeper. The fourth verse talks about, again, the ignorance and rejection of the Word of God coupled with the desire to live in darkness. Uh-huh. Now, see, some of us may think that, oh, well, people, they live in sin because they really don't know, they really don't understand, nobody has really told them about the gospel yet, and they probably would do better if they know better. Well, let's go a little bit deeper and see if that's actually true. They live in, so the darkness that they are living in is the sin that empowers the God of this world. Now I'm in verse 4, according to the fourth verse, from the King James translation, the enemy or the evil one or Satan, however you call the enemy, I call him the devil or what he is, that old liar. But the Bible, the King James Version, likens him to the God of this world. Now, I know that might be a shock to some of you. You only thought there was one God. There is. There was the triune God, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that we believe in as blood-bought, born-again believers. We believe in one God who has three personalities, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God with a capital G. But there is a little God with a little g, who is the God, the ruler of this world. Yes, ma'am, yes, sir. That is the word. He has been given a certain amount of power, a certain amount of authority to rule and run this world. However, his power and his authority does not supersede that of the power of God. It absolutely cannot. He is just allowed to do some of the things that he does. But when it comes down to blood-bought, born-again believers, I want you to get this. He has no power over us. He cannot overtake us. He cannot overthrow us because we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the blood of Jesus is so powerful. When we think about, and I'm going to get off task just a minute. When we think about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go a little bit longer this morning because I got to wrap all of this up. When we think the blood that Jesus shed for us on Calvary, it was just not him losing his blood. He shed that blood for a reason. And that blood today is powerful. So we never, ever have to fear the enemy. We never have to believe and think that he will overtake us or he will overshadow us. But why do these things happen to us? These things happen to us. We go through different things in our lives because those things come to make us strong, believe it or not. It's good medicine for the spiritual man. Those things come so that we can know and understand that we have a God in heaven, we have who also resides in our heart, who will not abandon us and who will not leave us nor forsake us. But he allows us to go through things so that we can be a testimony, in other words, a light to those that are in darkness, to let them know that my God will not leave me nor forsake me. He will bring me out and he will bring me through the particular drama. And I'm not belittling what you're going through. I just can't name all those things off because I don't know all of the things that you're going through. So I just lump it together in a word called drama to let the world know that God still reigns. So he uses us sometimes as examples to the world, but it also builds up character for us, and he rewards us on the other end. So let's go back to verse 4 as I try to get through it. How does he do this, though? How does the God of this world keep us in, keep those non-believers in darkness? He's able to do that because he blinds their spiritual eyes from the truth. He blinds it with enticing people, places, and or things, confusion, which religion is best or which religion is flawless. He blinds us with church hurt, self-interpretation of the word, etc., all of which is a trick of the enemy to keep you in darkness and or in sin by any means necessary. In other words, sugar, you are being punked, played, bamboozled. Here's a Tanya, not Tanya nugget. The answer to that question that I just asked, which one, which religion is best or flawless, none of them. You hear me? You hear me what I say? None of them are best. And all churches are flawed because we are flawed people who have been forgiven, but every now and then, or every then more than now, we forget we are flawed. So we judge others and or we cut up, act the fool, and allow the flaws to manifest so badly that we cause the church hurt. Selah. No, I wasn't disconnected. I said Selah. We need to stew in that. Church hurt ain't caused by God. It ain't caused by Jesus. It ain't caused by the Holy Spirit. It's caused by flawed people. I don't care if it's a pastor. They do it. I don't care if it's a bishop. They do it. No shade, no disrespect to pastors, bishops, apostles, leaders, whoever you are, and regular or deacons, church mothers, and or just lay members. We cause the church hurt. We do. You can't necessarily blame that on the devil either. I don't like the devil. Matter of fact, I hate him. But we can't always blame everything on him. Okay, I gotta hurry up, hurry. Okay, hurry. Verse 5, the message that they were preaching, that they were writing about, Paul and Timothy, that they were sharing, it wasn't a message of self-intent. They weren't preaching about themselves. They were preaching about Jesus Christ. They were so committed to sharing the gospel that in the King James Version, they identify themselves as servants. They were clear about their mission and their mandate. Verse 6, if we look at the King James Version of that text, it says that God commanded, let me read it to you, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what is he saying? God commanded the light to shine in the darkness, not just back in Genesis when he created the world, but he gave the mandate to the born-again, blood-bought believers to shine in darkness just as he shines in our hearts. How is that possible, though? We are human beings. We don't have light. Hold on in my Didi Sharif voice. Sweetie, this is the good part that I've been trying to get to. Put your tennis on, honey. We're about to take another journey, another twist. Here's the proof. Jesus spoke to the people again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Wow, I'm really, really out of time. I really wanted to get through it, but I can't. I got to be obedient to the schedule. Hopefully we can pick this up in the love, light, and victory portion of the call. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to pass the call off to Dee Dee, who is going to usher us before the throne of grace. I'm going to invite you, please, 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 don't hang up after the prayer. Stay on the line so that we can go a little bit deeper in this word. Dee Dee, it is now in your hands.
Thank you, Father. When we opened our eyes this morning, God, you had already taken care of every unfolding detail of our day, and for that we thank you, God. We thank you that you're covering us in your grace and you're tucking us in your love, and that everything that comes near us today or we're faced with, you've already prepared a way for us, so we thank you for that, God. We bless you today. You alone are worthy of all the honor, of all the glory, and of all the praise, and we worship you, Jesus. Thank you for new grace, new mercy, a new day, a new chance to do a new thing. Thank you for surrounding us in your safety as we slept, Lord. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, because it's your peace that gives us rest for our souls, for you are our peace. Jesus, you are our peace and you are our rest. Some of us right now are at our wit's end, but we turn to you not to give up. Hallelujah. So wrap us in your arms. Take our worries, our stresses, our doubts, our fears, any bitterness that we're holding on to, and our emotions, and lay them all at your feet at the throne of grace. Lord Jehovah Shalom, be peace. Peace, 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 peace. Those that are asking for prayer this morning, God, you know all about them. You said to cast every care on you. I'm lifting up the Declare Victory family. I thank you for Bubbly, God, for her heart. I thank you for Dion, the visionary of this amazing family of victors. Thank you, God, for her life. Continue to cover her and bless her indeed. Continue to bless her sons, her mom, her brother, her entire family. She is a mighty woman of God, and I love her, and I thank you for that, God. This morning, I'm asking that you be with the Holmes family, lifting up the family of Kevin Holmes. He was a son, a brother, a dad, an uncle. My sister, Rhonda, I'm lifting her up. Just give her peace, God. Her and her brother were so close, and for his son, Mike, as well, who I love. Just be with any family that's dealing with grief, because everything's going on, God. I'm also asking that you will continue to bless Monica Evans as she's doing a new thing and the gift that you gave her. Touch her and cover her and bless her mom as well as they're away. And let everyone who is of you and is right and no foulness, God, come in their way. Anything that she needs that you will provide, I thank you for giving her that gift to sing, a beautiful young lady. Also, for Tamisha Spencer, just asking for strength, guidance, and by whatever it is she needs to make decisions for her children and for her life, let there be no confusion and only clarity, because confusion does not come from you. Just give her strength, God, and that she orders your steps. She follows your steps, God, that her steps are ordered by you. God, I ask that you bless Jasmine. Oh, Jesus, her son Cadence is, they found a mass behind his tonsil. Oh, but devil, we serve you. Notice you cannot steal his sound. We declare victory over this young man, and we ask Jehovah Rapha to heal him, as well as Officer Derek Couch, who was shot in Mississippi. Heal him, Jesus. We thank you that the bullets didn't kill him, God, but we ask that you will restore him totally. I thank you in advance, and we know that there's no distance in the power of prayer, that his prayers can be felt all the way from California to Mississippi. And we just thank you in advance for my sister Diane's sister Dorothy. She's having a procedure done this morning. They have to go through her stomach. God, be with the surgeons, but give Dorothy a peace of mind, and also give Diane a peace of mind, because again, she's here and her sister's in Southern California, but we know that you're everywhere, God, and we thank you. We thank you so much for that. Sister Julia, God, just touch her and touch her indeed. You know her heart. You know her request. She's diligently seeking you. She's praying consistently for herself, for others, for Declare Victory, for Mother Dupree. Continue to heal her, God, but also continue to remind her that she has to rest and take care of herself as well to be a vital vessel for your kingdom. I thank you for that. I thank you for God, I just want to thank you for Sister Ruth for that scripture from Isaiah, and for Tanya with that amazing declaration. I have nothing to say about that, but amazing. And bless Bernice and Marcus and Sister Carol. They'll come after me. God, please reflect replenish the intercessors on the wall, God, because you know that's draining, but you can refill us, God. So I thank you for that, God, and those that always intercede on behalf of others, for each and every victor that just declares and decree, bless them and bless them indeed. For each ministry birthed out of Victorville, for Marriage Matters, for TNT with that amazing Pastor Lavelle Jones, and that you guys are missing a blessing on that call. For Wives Who War with Sister Denise Nala Smith, and Men of Value, and Walk It Out, and the Friday Night Live, and Ask This and That, and just, God, just look at what you're doing, and I'm so amazed at all, how it's just unraveling. I thank you, Father God, how it's lining up. Thank you, God. Lord, when we are overwhelmed with life, I know people and bills and circumstances and health and death all around us. God, for all our problems, thank you, Tanya, thank you. It's not the time to give up. We have to stand on your word and your promises, because it's at the crisis point that we will either draw closer to you, God, or we'll give up, and that's not what your word says. Your word is to sustain us, God, to keep us from losing our natural minds, to keep us from walking out of marriages or leaving our kids or giving up. Some people just give up, but we are to take our burdens to you, Lord, and leave them there. If someone hurts us, talks about us, whatever, God, you will hold them accountable. All we have to do is continue to be about our purpose, to be about our Father's business, and I thank you. And Matthew says that God will judge men even for the words they speak. We are under constant surveillance by God in heaven, so much, in fact, that he even keeps track of the number of hairs on our heads. Think about that. God is a good God. I thank you, God, and he's not surprised about anything we are facing. The word tells us that we are not to allow ourselves to become overstressed about anything, because he takes care of us. He's concerned about all that concerns us. He instructs us to pray, make our requests known to him. He's God. We don't need to try to tell him how to be God. He's God all by himself, and I thank him for that. It's when we come to the point where we're burned out, drained, tired, our burdens are overbearing, our tears are endless, and our situation seems hopeless. He's our hope. He's our refuge. We are ready to just give up, lean into him, trust in him. In our times of need, he reminds us that it's him. He supplies all our needs. So I praise you. I praise you for sending Declare Victory. I praise you for every single person on this line. Continue to bless us, God. Bless our children. Cover our elderly parents, God. Just anyone right now that's in the sound of my voice, just know that God is good and he is a redeemer. He is everything that we need. Praise him. When you don't know what else to say, just call on the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. I thank you for sending your only son to die on the cross for us, and that he was obedient and he gave it all up for us. He died for everything that we're going through, sickness and disease, all of it. All of it. So may we here in Victorville just be holy, have holy boldness, have the wisdom, have the desire to just tell others about how great God is. He's our Savior, and how he does so many marvelous things for us, and he can do it for them too. We are the light in this dark world. So turn up your wattage and shine for those that are comfortable in the dark, as I pass the call in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, once again we come to establish our legal right, and we take dominion and declare victory. Spirit of the living God, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, for the power given to us to make us strong, that we are a light to those in darkness. We thank you, Father. We declare victory for our unsaved loved ones and our enemies. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any man should perish, but that they come to repentance and not likened to the God of this world. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that it's God's will that all be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Your word also tells us that before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. Comfort, confusion, materialism, sensuality, and addiction are all false gods that keep our unsaved loved ones in bondage. Orchestrate whatever circumstances are necessary to turn stubborn hearts toward repentance. For there is nothing more important than that they seek you, God, and find you. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to your will, Father, you hear us. And we know that if you hear us, whatever we ask, we have the petitions that we have asked you for. We ask that our unsaved loved ones be saved. Set them free, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bar the enemy from blinding the minds of our unsaved loved ones. We know that we fight an invisible foe. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness and the rulers of evil, against the authorities, against spiritual forces in the present age. Thank you, God, for providing the armor we need today and every day, including the breastplate of righteousness. You provided the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. Thank you. Father God, we know that your spirit within us is greater than he that is in the world. Help us to know that we are secure in your hands and to not fear what man or the enemy can do. For since you are for us, who could ever be against us? And for this, we thank you, O great God. We declare victory for marriages and our families and our children. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Love is patient, kind, it's not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Holy Spirit, bring to the remembrance of those in marriages to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away, along with all malice. Let they be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave us all. As we walk in the light of your kingdom, help us, Holy Spirit, to be godly examples, godly mentors, as we raise up our families. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building up the family according to their needs. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. Help us to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Impart kindness and compassion for one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave each of us. We agree that our children run with patience the particular race that you have set before them, keeping their eyes on you, their leader and their instructor. We pray that our children will receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and then stand boldly in their faith. Guide them always, Father. Ensure that they will not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We thank you now that our children will know you as God who sees them. We thank you because they do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord. And in your law, Father, they meditate day and night. And we thank you for that. Protect them and keep them safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Together we pray that all staff and students and every school will want to be your disciples. Put our right to pray back into the schools. Bring back biblical values and high moral standards. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for working miracles in our children's lives, in their schools, during their play, on their jobs, and in us. And as I prepare to pass the call, Father, I thank you for everyone on this line, for their hearts to commit to prayer and intercession. Fill them with your incredible peace. Wrap them in your love. Help them to feel confident and worthy to do your work. Let them grow closer to you daily. Fuel the desire daily to seek you, allowing them to face everything with courage and that they walk with integrity. Help them with anything they struggle with, surrounding them with encouragement, and give them the wisdom that you have, that they've asked you for as they experience your joy. For all these things, I thank you, Father, as I pass the call.
Father, we say thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you, God, for the prayers. We thank you, God, for the declaration, Lord. We thank you for how you blessed us this morning to wake up and see a day that we haven't seen before. And we thank you on this wait while we wait Wednesday, oh God, that you are blessing us today. Lord, we lift up all of our churches this morning. We lift up every church, Lord, in San Francisco, in Oakland, in Richmond, in Pittsburgh, God, and across the country, God, across the world, Lord, our international ministries. We pray that you will bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, right now, God. We pray that you would have your way in those churches, oh God, that you would touch our pastors, oh God, that you would bless them, oh God, that you would help them to get back to what the Word says, and that is to reach out and to compel those to come in, God, that help us to remember that as we reach out to win souls, that, God, you will provide everything we need in our ministries, oh God. Help us to remember that no matter what we do, if we continue to just do your work and feed your sheep, God, that you would supply every need according to your riches and glory. And so, Lord, we thank you for that now. Lord, we pray and lift up all of our cities, oh God, our states and our legislations, oh God. We lift up local governments everywhere, oh God. Pray, God, that you would bless them in a special way. God, that you would lift up leaders, God, before you, God, that will do better about our local governments, God, about our cities and our states. So, God, we pray, God, that you would bless all of those who are in charge and those that will be coming into office, God, that you would bless them and give them vision for our cities and visions for our states, oh God, that you would give them not just vision, but a plan and a way to walk it out and to get some things done that will make changes, oh God, that will help and protect and serve the people, God, that live in those cities and states. God, we pray for our military, God, that you would bless them in a special way, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, oh God, that you would bless every soldier, God, that is involved. God, those that have been deployed, bless them in a special way. Protect them. Keep them safe, oh Lord Jesus. Bless those families that have lost loved ones at war and have lost loved ones on the battlefield. God, comfort them now and give them peace, oh God, in the midst of their loss. God, I pray for all those children that have lost a father or a mother, oh God, through them being in service, oh God. I lift up all of them in the name of Jesus. God, lift up police officers everywhere, oh God, that you would bless them in a special way, God. God, give them a new marching orders, oh God. Give them how to connect and communicate with the people, oh God, and a better way and an easier way with that they don't have to use their weapons, God, but they can use weapons of their words, oh Lord, that they can use words and communication to stop violence, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing it down in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray for our first family, oh God, the president and his wife and his children. God, I pray that you would bless them right now. We thank you for all that you've blessed them to be able to accomplish in these 8 years. Oh God, I pray as they end their term, God, I pray that you would bless them, God, to be able to walk away with comfort and without having a heavy heart, without feeling bad, without feeling unrelieved. And God, I just pray that you would do that now. I pray, God, that you would comfort them now, and I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless those that are in his cabinet, oh God, and those that are coming after, God, those who will be voted in, oh God. I pray, God, that you would bless them in a special way, and I thank you, Lord, that you can do it now. God, keep us from having the wrong person in office, oh God. Protect this United States, oh God, and the entire government, oh God, so that we can go forward and not backwards. And we thank you for it, and we praise you for it. Now, Lord, as I prepare to pass the call, I pray that you would bless the next person that's coming after me, oh God, and that the collective prayer go to your glory and for your honor. And thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen, as I pass the call.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unfailing love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us of our sins, both known and unknown. And thank you, Lord, for breathing your breath of life on us today. Thank you for waking each and every one of us up this morning because, Lord, as we know, someone didn't wake up. And, God, in saying that, I've asked that you would just comfort those that are in bereavement. Thank you, Lord, for just being you. because, Lord, only you can be you. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us as we slept in our homes. And we thank you, Lord, for the provisions that you continue to bestow upon us. We thank you for our transportation, our jobs, our families, and our children. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, if you would touch those who are sick in their bodies. I ask for God that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you would let your spirit and healing power visit nursing homes and rehabilitation centers nationwide, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, for meeting us each and every day. And we thank you, God, for meeting our daily needs. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch those deemed as being mentally ill, Lord Jesus, as we know that they are special people. And, Lord, I ask you to give us love and mercy when we are interacting and dealing with them. Allow us, Lord, to show them love and allow them to feel the love that we have for them as we trust you, Jesus, to heal their hearts and minds. Bless us all on this call, Lord, every last one of us on this DV call. Allow us, Heavenly Father, to be thankful and grateful for your abundant blessings. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for the blessings that you give us. But Lord, we also ask that you would allow us to be a blessing to others. It is not our will, Lord, to conform to the things of this world, Lord, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove, Lord God, to be good and respectable, acceptable, and pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for so much. We thank you for the special gifts, God, that you have afforded each and every one of us individually. And Lord, I ask that you would teach us how to show and give love towards others without hypocrisy. Teach us, Lord God, to be forgiving and understanding, and teach us your ways, God. Help us to abhor evil and to cling to those things that are good, God. And help us, dear Lord, to be kind and affectionate to one another and not to be lagging in your diligence, O God. We thank you. But God, keep us fervent in spirit and always willing, always ready, Lord God, to serve you. I ask that you would help us to be obedient, Heavenly Father, not perfect, for we know that you were the only one who was perfect, but just to be mindful of our ways and our thoughts, of our decisions, Lord God, all of that, God, I ask that you just be with us when we make our decisions and when we just go about our everyday life. Allow us, Lord, to be great and godly examples, showing servantship and being a helper in many ways to others. I pray, Lord God, for your protection over all of our cities. Lord God, whether those cities be local or far, I ask that you let your presence change and set the very atmosphere, Jesus. I ask that you would keep our children safe when they are out of our presence, and just safe as they sleep, God, and allow your angelic protection to cover them always. Give all those on the streets, Lord God, driving on the streets, the byways and the highways, traveling mercy and grace to and from their destinations, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless those who requested prayer on today, Lord God, and those who didn't request prayer, Lord, you know their needs. And I thank you, God, for meeting their needs. I thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters of DV, and I ask you, Lord, to just bless each and every one of them in your special way individually, Lord, for our obedience and getting up every morning, God, and just giving you praise. Excuse me, giving you praise, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the obedience that you have given us, and I just ask that you would just continue to give us the desires of our heart. I pray, Lord God, and lift up the lost, the brokenhearted, and those who are broken in spirit. Lord Jesus, and I ask that you would just send someone their way who would be kind enough to teach them about the gospel of you, God, so that they can know and not continue to be lost. And Lord God, so many of them deal with doubt. They deal with fear. They deal with unbelief, anger, and confusion. And Lord, many tend to think that it's incurable. But Lord, we know with you all things are possible. And we know that you can change things. So, Lord, as we prepare to take our phones off mute and we, excuse me, intercede, Lord Jesus, we agree in faith that many, even hundreds and thousands of people, Lord God, would receive you as their personal Lord and Savior on today. I pray, Lord God, that all may know that you, Lord God, and your love helps us to surpass knowledge. I pray that all may be filled with your measure of fullness in the name of Jesus. And as we take our phones off mute, Lord, I pray for our pastors and our churches.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I ask, Father, that you would continue to equip each and every saint for the works of your service to the building up of the body of Christ, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to pass, bless the pastors everywhere and just keep that level of protection around them. I ask, Lord, that you would keep your hand upon them and keep them from evil. I pray, Father God, that you would keep a hedge of protection around everybody. Lord God, around the whole world. Protect them, Jesus, in mind, soul, and body. I thank you and I praise you, Lord Jesus, for imparting in each and every one of us your spiritual wisdom. God, because your word said that you would do that. Allow us, Lord God, to hear from you clearly and to just give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord God, that you so deserve. I pray, Lord God, for the entire world, and I pray that you would keep the world under your wings of protection, Lord God, and that you would help the world to abide under your shadow, God, to abide under the shadow of you, Lord God Almighty. We thank you, Lord, for your promises, as you said in Luke 6 and 38, that you, God, would make grace abound toward all of us, God, in every favor and earthly blessing, so that I have all suffering for all of my ways, and I abound in every good work, God. So, God, basically what you're telling us is that you know what we're going through. You know what we will experience, God, but you are our help. So, Lord, we are forever thankful. And, Lord, we just thank you for your unfailing mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up. We thank you, Lord, for so many things, God. We thank you for ordering our steps, oh God, and just blessing your holy name, God. We thank you for the joy of salvation, garment of praise. We thank you for our health and strength. We thank you for moving up our limbs, Lord God. We thank you for transportation. And Lord, we thank you for our home. We thank you so much, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, for all that you give for us. We bless your name, God, for the favor that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for the troubles that we will never see, God, because you will protect us from those things. We thank you, God, for good doctors reports, and we just bless your name, God. We thank you, God, for just giving us this very day, God. Thank you for the forgiveness that you continue to give us, God, when we come to you. Lord, just use us mightily, each and every one of us on this day. And Lord God, as we prepare to leave this place, but never in your presence, God, I ask that you be with us, allow us to minister, God. Use us in a mighty way, in the name of Jesus, on today, God, on this Wait While We Wait Wednesday. So as I pass the call, I ask, God, that our day be wonderful. I ask that you lead us and direct us the way that you do best, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As I pass the call.
Amen. Amen. And so, Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for each and every person connected to the call this morning. Once again, we want to welcome you to the Declare Victory call, and we are about to walk into the Love, Life, and Victory conversation, where we take the Word of God that was distributed, rightly divided, and share thoughts and life application tools and tricks to living a whole healthy, well, and balanced life. By chance, are there any first-time callers? You may not have had an opportunity to announce yourself. Good morning once again. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Hey, Jasmine.
Hi, it's Jasmine and Cadence. We're in the hospital, so I'm speaking low. Thank you so much for the prayer over my baby. We receive it in Jesus' name. We know that he is healed, and we declare victory over his life and his body. And for all those that are on the line, we love you and we thank you.
Gloria, I'm so glad you called, sis. Just know that there are workers on the wall. We are joining with you and believing God for Cadence. When I saw that baby's name, something else. And we came to tell the enemy, honey, we declare war on his antics and his tricks, and make a sound that glorifies God. glory and honor to him. Amen. So glad you could join us this morning, and welcome. Y'all feel at home, honey.
Amen. Thank you. I love it.
Welcome. Or hootie-hoo, as we say.
Welcome. We love you.
Thank you. Love you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That said, there may have been somebody that joined the call. You didn't have a chance. Any victors on the line? Where the little people? Did y'all just go silent? Really? Hello?
Good morning, Declare Victory. God bless you this morning. Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord God. He's divine, and we going to bear fruit. He's the light. As long as we stay connected to him, we going to bear fruit.
Amen. Amen. Hey, stars. Good morning, man of God. Anybody else want to say hey?
Good morning. This is Jamila.
Hey, Jamila, girl. Good morning.
Hey.
Anybody else? Hey, man. Well, y'all on hush mouth this morning. That's fine, because Tanya got a mouthful.
Good morning. This is Ollie.
Hey, Ollie, girl.
Hey. Hey, mama.
Good morning. It's Barbara.
Hey, Barb. Good morning. Hey, Kwame. Good morning, young man.
Love you, D.I.
Love you more. How about that? Amen. Well, with that said, you guys, once again, great morning. Don't forget, today is our fasting day for those that can and will. Don't forget to push your plate back. And with that said, I will pass the call to Tanya, not Tanya, otherwise known as this. Go ahead, Tanya.
Hey, that girl. How you doing this morning, too? I had love to you and stuff.
Yes, I am. This morning. Yes.
Yes, you sound like Darth Vader right now. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for hosting this morning. I would love to be able, if you would indulge me, because I don't want to leave you hanging. I just want to, let me finish this up and then start off with questions or discussion or if anybody had a God moment. I left off with this word. Jesus spoke to the people again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:22. And I'm sorry, I did not hear the young lady's voice who is at the hospital with your baby. Absolutely can identify with you, standing in prayer and agreement with you, but you are being a light right where you are. Because who takes the time to be on a prayer call while a baby is in the hospital? That takes a lot. That takes a lot. The other thing was is that, because the question was, how can we be lights if we're human beings? And so that's why I read that scripture, John 8:22. But there's one more I found. So that you may be blameless and pure, innocent children of God, surrounded by people who are crooked and corrupt. Among these people, you shall shine like stars in the world. Now, that's the common English Bible version. But if we jump over to King James or American Standard, it will talk about being the light of this world. We know we can equate a star with light because stars are light. and so with that saying, I remember part of my preaching to myself this morning, somebody needs to mute. Part of what I remember hearing was that you are the light, and that that the light just is. You know, it doesn't. There's no explanation required. The light, it just is. You know what I'm saying? It's not trying to be noticed. It exists. And we can do the same thing. But we have to be careful that in allowing our light to shine, remember, listen to what I said, allowing our light to shine as opposed to making our light shine. Well, what do you mean by that? See, the light is not looking for special recognition. When we look up at the dark sky at night, and it's beautiful. It can be a beautiful light show. It can be a beautiful display of light. But how many of you have ever looked up at the sky on a dark night only to see a star trying to stand out? Hey, here I am. Notice me. Or jumping all across the sky, or having a pulsating, you know, light show for you because it wants you to notice it. No, it shines in and of itself on purpose, in purpose, for purpose, which is to be a light to you. And that's the same thing that we must do. Listen to this. Don't work to make yourself look good and try to flatter people, but act like slaves of Christ, carrying out God's will from the heart. That's Ephesians 6:6. Now, don't get caught up on the word slave. This was written during a time period where slavery was accepted. We know that slavery has been abolished. But I consider myself a slave of Jesus Christ. He is my master. I will do whatever he asks me to do because I'm sold out. I give him 101. Everybody is not at that level. You may not consider yourself a servant. You just kind of are a, and this is not to you people on the line, because you don't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning just to be a part-time, half-cocked believer. You know, you are somebody that is chasing after God. But there are some people that are out there that are only weekend Christians. They're only Sunday Christians. And I promise I'm going to get to a point. I just want to finish this up, and I'm almost done. But again, the light is not looking to be compensated. It just is. And I'll say this in closing, and then I'll open it up. If you're wondering, you know, when we think about people and we think about the light of the world and we think about the work that is being done and we think about things that need to be done, we think about things that, you know, we ask ourselves the questions of, and you might be wondering, well, where are they? You know, why isn't the church doing this? What is the church's stance on that? When are they coming? When are they going to do this? When are they going to do that? Why haven't they done this? Why haven't they done that? Honey, we are the they. I'm sorry, we is the them. It ain't nobody. We are being given the charge to be the light, to be the example. This is not a joke. We are not playing a game. You don't get to put it on and off when it feels good, and take your salvation off. Well, you can, but you ain't going to get nowhere. Take it off when it doesn't feel good and go cuss somebody out or beat somebody down. We too old to be doing all that stuff. And you literally put your light out when you make a conscious decision to act a monkey. When you make a conscious decision to step outside of your salvation and be somebody that you are not called to be. Maybe you didn't cuss somebody out, but maybe you were so mean and nasty that you ran somebody off and they don't want to have anything to do with church anymore. So on that note, I'll stop. And I want to ask. I want to ask a question. How are you being a light in your world? How are you? Can you share some of the things that you're doing to be a light? And this is not you bragging. That's not what this is about. This is about you talking. Because you know we have Make It Happen Mondays. That's a way of being a light. We have Tell It Tuesdays. That's a way of being a light in a dark world. Paying somebody's bridge toll, walking up to a perfect stranger, asking them, can you buy their meal for them because it's Make It Happen Monday, or pay for their groceries, or sharing a kind word with somebody, or smiling. I just gave you some of the answers. But some of you have done some extraordinary things or done some things that are different than that. Opening up the call, if you have something to share, now is the time to do it. How are you being a light in this dark world?
Hey, Tanya. Tanya, this is Tanya. I would like to share. God bless me here in Modesto with an an elderly woman who is absolutely my best friend. She is 78 years old, and she is my road dog. And I drive Miss Daisy around every opportunity I get a chance, and we just crack up because I literally drive Miss Daisy everywhere. But I love her wisdom. She pours into me and just her knowledge, her personality. She is a young 78-year-old woman, and I just love serving her. So that's what I do.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you. You are definitely making an impact and being a light. Without you even realizing it, other people that see you guys coming, if there are certain places that you go on a regular basis or even if you don't, the fact that you're able to be there for her, that's amazing. Thank you. Anybody else? I thought I heard someone else.
Hey, Tan.
Hey.
It's me, Dee Dee. It's so many things, but I think I'm in my humbling season right now because I have been the youngest, I've been the baby, I've been spoiled pretty much all my life. And so with this new season in my life, God is actually putting me in places to make me shine. And I'm not trying to say it like when you explain it, it's not like I'm intentionally doing it, but it's like a natural light that I didn't even know I had in me. And thank you, Tanya, for reminding me that I've been blessed to be a blessing to my 83-year-old bonus dad, my mom's husband, driving that brother to Palo Alto twice a week sometimes has been a journey, but it's been a blessing. And it's also exposed me to other areas in my life because I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but going to the VA hospital and seeing so many elder, not, and they're all not elder, but just veterans, and they're missing limbs, and they're, some of them are in there for treatments, and sitting and having a conversation with them, and some of them, is they're by themselves. So that touched me in such a way that I want to pursue that, maybe being an elder care person or just, you know, loving on somebody, going and taking them groceries or taking them to the store, making, you know, running their doctor's appointments. But that's where I need my light to shine, is in just caring for the elderly. And it's nothing for me. I'm a giver anyway, so I love to give. But to just be a blessing, I just want to be a blessing because I've been blessed for so long, and I just want to be able to bless others. Even in my situation right now, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring as far as my career, but I'm not worried about it. I'm going to continue to just shine as God uses me. So thank you, Tanya. I love you.
Wow, Dee Dee, that's amazing. And you know what I just heard? That's a business. That is a business. Do you know how many? I was on my way to church on Sunday, and I saw this older woman. She had her cane. She was sitting on the bench waiting for the bus, dressed. She looked like she might have been an usher, but she was dressed for church. And I thought to myself, man, I wish I had the time. I had to be at service at a certain time. I wanted to make a U-turn and ask her if she wanted to ride to church or wherever she was going. Because there are elders that are out there that don't have anybody. They, you know, for whatever reason, maybe they didn't have any children. Maybe their children don't have time to take them to the doctor or go and pick up their medication or just stop by and say, hey, I'm checking on you today, just making sure you got everything good, you know, whatever. That absolutely could be a business that God blesses you with, you know. Just think about it and pray about it. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Jasmine, the mom that's in the hospital. Can you all hear me?
Hi, Jasmine. Yes, we can. Yes. God bless you.
God bless you. We have a neighbor now, and I just want to be respectful to the other child that's in the room. But I just wrote a book entitled Uncommon Grace. Uncommon Grace. And so what I'm going to be doing with that is traveling and speaking to groups of young women in acknowledging their worth, acknowledging the God that lives inside of them, and the power that we have, you know, through Jesus Christ, and just going forth and spreading his word. You know, it's my time to, I've been just so blessed by his uncommon grace that it's my turn to give back to the world, you know, and can't be afraid, can't sit on it, you know. So the book releases next month. I'm really excited, and I'm getting ready to just go out and empower as many people as I can and give that what was given to me. So that's my part, my small part.
Wow, that is phenomenal. that even, again, because it's a big deal when you have a your baby. I don't care. My baby was 26 and he was in the hospital, so he's still my baby.
Oh.
So I can identify with where you are.
Yeah.
And, again, I want to do something for you if you will allow me to allow my my light to shine. I want to send you my book. My book is about my journey with my son who was ill. And everybody on the call has heard it. But I want to, so if you can inbox me, my name is Tanya Alexander. I will put that in the mail to you. I believe it will help you where you are. And you'll be able to identify with somebody who's been down that road already. But what I want to say to you is that it's phenomenal to me, you know, how God will give us the grace to go through various situations. I'll never forget being in the hospital. And while there, you know, with my son, there were certain procedures sometimes that would need to take place, and I couldn't be in the room with him. And so when I went out in the hallway, I would start to pray for others. As I saw people coming my way, inwardly I would pray for them. And so I would encourage you as you are able to do that, even the child that's in the room with you. Just remember them in prayer because everybody doesn't have what we have. But that's amazing that you're able to share that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else want to share? Anybody else want to share? How are you being a light? How are you being a light in your world? Nobody else? All right. Well, I'm sure that there are some
Sister
things.
Tanya.
That oh, yeah.
This is Brother Eric. I just wanted, I love the declaration. I wanted to say that I, every Sabbath, I have an opportunity to see a light in action. What I'm talking about is my wife. A lot of times, you know, I open up the church, and she comes, you know, a little while afterwards, and, you know, we begin to have Sabbath school. But my wife has this incredible gift in which she draws, and I'll call them peculiar. And those are young ladies or older ladies, too, that, you know, sometimes, you know, they come in, you may call them a little quirky. You know, their view of the gospel may not be conventional. And for some reason, they're drawn to her, like moths to a light, and you know, because she is such a welcoming personality, you know, a lot of times they may be dealing with drug issues or mental issues, but they come right to my wife, and my wife just receives them, and you know, I'll be like, you know, slowly playing in the background, and she begins to minister to these women, and they just open up because she gives her whole attention to them, you know, and they're able to talk about anything that's going on in their lives, what they're struggling with, and she gives them such a sense of value that it just, like, you know, it's like I look at her sometimes, and you know, it's like they're glowing. So, you know, that's something that I get a chance to witness every Sabbath, and I just thank God for the light that God has put in my life.
Wow, Eric, that was really beautiful. Juliet is probably melting over there somewhere by now. That was really nice for you to acknowledge her. I even liked the analogy that you used, like moths drawn to light. Anybody else? How are you a light?
Yes, Sister Tanya.
Yes, Brother Jeff.
You know, I like to say that I thank God for a couple of people that I came in contact with who light was shining, the presence of God was with them. One of my field supervisors, Mr. Cox, he's a Christian, and he don't broadcast that he's a Christian. Many years ago when I first met him, his light was shining. And, you know, I was straddling the fence. I I knew God, but I wasn't living right. And when Mr. Cox would come into my presence, I would get convicted. And he didn't preach at me, you know. He ministered to me in his and just in who he was. And there's another sister Janice. She ministered to me a little over 20 years ago and invited me to the church home that I'm at right now, Acts for Gospel. I was living in a homeless shelter, and her light shined. And when she walked up to me and she invited me to act, her spirit, the joy that she had, it was just something about it. And the Acts for Gospel was in walking distance of the shelter that I was in at the time. And I visited Acts, and I heard a word, and I've been a member there ever since. But today, my light shines because I don't deny the fact that I am a Christian. When I sit around the table with some of the fellas and we're playing dominoes and I don't change. And, you know, they know that I'm a Christian, so, you know, they be mindful of the language that they use, and they'll point out the fact, well, you know, Brother Jeff, you know, you can miss him with when they pass around the phone with whatever they viewing on the phone and stuff. They know that I don't change. I stick to the fact that I am a Christian and God has changed me. I don't practice that old behavior anymore. And the men that I sit around the domino table with, they acknowledge that. They know that God has changed me. So and that's one aspect of my light shining. And I don't know if Brother Eric experienced the same thing that I did with Mr. Cox, because I know that he have had some contact with Mr. Cox as well. If he's able, I would like to know whether or not he experienced the same impact that with Mr. Cox that he had on me.
He may be not unable to speak at this point.
Yeah, this is Brother Eric. I really didn't get a chance to, you know, when I came in, Mr. Cox was on his way out to retirement. And I only worked with one of his schools, so I never really got a chance to really experience and really kind of sit down and talk with the man. But I will say this.
Right when you get out of school.
I would say that, you know, I know he was a man of upstanding character, and he was a great supervisor, but that's all I can really say that I experienced for him. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Okay, anybody else? And then I'm going to move from this topic.
Yeah, hello. Hi, Tanya. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Monique?
Yeah, this is Monique.
Hey,
I just went there yesterday. Me and my husband, we went to go see one of the mother of the church of our church because she's ill in a retirement home, and she requested some Splenda, so we went to 7-Eleven, but they didn't have any there, so we had to go to Food Max in Fairfield. And when we got to Food Max, they were giving out all the leftover Valentine roses. And the lady said, "You guys can take as many as you want." So it was a blessing. Me and Troy,
wow. We
took handfuls, and when we got to the retirement home, we were able to hand them out to each of the elderly people there and just, like, brought so much joy to them. So that was, like, a true blessing. And, you know, it was, like, good even just to see my husband. He was the main one just going up to the ladies and handing the flowers and talking to them, man. You know, and I think just being positive, you know, whenever you come in contact with somebody, even if they're having a negative situation going on, just trying to shine some light and be positive and direct them back to God in prayer. You know, that's how we shine our light today. You know, if I see somebody struggling, I probably hand them a couple dollars, you know, and just don't say nothing about it, you know, just stuff like that, because, you know, that's how I shine my light today.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, being positive and just doing this stuff, you know, doing our recovery, because this is what this is about, you know, us showing up and getting in place and doing what we're supposed to do. So it's all well, and he is 1 year sober, you guys, the next week, and God is good.
Holy ho, my God. That's awesome.
Yes.
That is awesome. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Okay, well, let me ask another question. When you consider, I want to read this text from you, because remember I said this morning, that's what the Lord dropped in my spirit. That's what I remember hearing is, we are the lights. We are the lights. We are the lights. That's why it's so important to watch, to be watchful and to be prayerful, to watch ourselves as how the way that we respond or the way that we react to different situations in church, out of church, even in our home. Our children are also watching, right? And so we want to be really, really careful. But this is this text I wanted to read to you really quickly. It says, I just realized I've been quoting this text the wrong way. That's why it's good to go and look up things on your own. But it's Deuteronomy 32 and 30. It says, how can one person chase off 1,000 in battle? How can two people make 10,000 flee for their lives? Only because their rock sold them off. Only because the Lord handed them over. So in other words, when we get together as believers, I might go out in battle. I might go out and, you know, whatever the case may be, in sharing the gospel, or, you know, be out praying in the community or whatever, right? And 1,000 is a lot. It's a lot of people, right? But what this scripture, as to paraphrase it, is that God can give us the capacity. While I can do a lot on my own as an individual, when I join with somebody else, say, for instance, me and Pamela Jordan go someplace and we go to do ministry. Paraphrase, this is like saying I can impact 1,000, but combined forces, two people, two believers, prayed up, spirit-filled, intentional people can put 10,000 to flight, not in and of ourselves, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Lord giving us the victory and the power over that particular thing. And maybe it might not be a whole 10,000. Maybe it might be, but it would be certainly far more. We can impact, working together, we can impact far more people than we can working in silos. So there's nothing wrong with working by yourself and doing that, because obviously you won't be able to connect with and partner with somebody all the time. But when you are able to do that, do you remember Jesus sent the disciples out two by two? He didn't send them out by themselves. He sent them out two by two. You had a partner going out and doing ministry. That's a great thing to consider when you are working on a task. And so why did I say I quoted that scripture? I was saying that one can put 1,000 to flight and ticket, but I was quoting it based upon what I heard, not based upon the way that it was read. So that's just a little reminder that we should, before we start quoting something that somebody else said, make sure we read it and understand it and we can quote it correctly. All I'm saying is that we're better together, you all. We're better together. Did anybody have an epiphany or a God moment during the declaration? Was there something that I said that stood out for you? Or something that you were reminded of, perhaps an experience, or something that somebody shared with you before?
just on being a light. All right, y'all kind of quiet this morning. Maybe you all are preoccupied. Well, here's what I'm going to invite you. Yes.
And this is Barbara.
Hey,
might
Barbara.
Might be a little noisy because I'm on the bus.
Okay.
Everybody knows I always come down to Texas to see my daughter several times during the year. Well, I'm in Texas now for the month of February, but I actually came down because her pastor was going to have surgery. But I have put her name on the prayer list, and she didn't have to have surgery, but she still had to have a procedure, so I was here for that. Well, while I was here, my other girlfriend that's in Arlington, Texas, is having a heart procedure on Friday. So as we speak, I'm on the bus now on my way to Arlington to be of service to her. You just never know where I put you or God sends you. I'm just glad that I was able to be down here for this time.
Wow. You talk about a star shining brightly today or just this week. That's amazing, Miss Barbara, that, you know, that you would travel so far to be a blessing, you know, as a skilled professional in the medical field, to be a blessing to those people, praying for your safe journey and that God will bless your friend to go through that procedure, you know, with no complications at all. And again, God bless you for, you know, being in a position to be able to do that. That's a big deal. You know, sometimes we look for the big things. You know, we might discredit ourselves just for the small things that we do. That makes a difference. You never know what a smile or what a hello can do for an individual. I'm going to say this as I get ready to close out because I don't want to keep you if there aren't questions and discussion. I had to do a homework assignment. I had to find a documentary, a short film, and I found one. It was called Cold. C-O-L-D, it was called Cold, and I won't go into all details, but there was this one particular, in essence, the story or the plot was that it wasn't a documentary, I'm sorry, it was just a short film. People in this particular city, Canada, were cold-natured. It was cold where they were. It was like, I think, 19 degrees or below 19, whatever it was. It was super, super cold. And it wasn't so much the narrator of the film. It wasn't so much that it was cold there. It was. You had to bundle up. But the culture was cold. In other words, people didn't really speak to one another. There wasn't really a lot of people being polite on display. This one particular character was in the parking lot, there was a radio disc jockey that was having a late-night talk show. A person called in, a little girl, well, a teenager, called in to say that she was feeling kind of sad that night, and the talk show host asked her why, and she was talking about her brother who had passed, and he didn't just pass, he committed suicide. The reason that he committed suicide was that he was gay, and his parents would not accept him. They rejected him. She loved him. And she knew his secret, but when he came out to them, they completely abandoned him. They completely rejected him. His Christian parents completely rejected him. And he killed himself as a result of it. His Christian parents would not even go to the funeral. This is a made-up story. Okay. But I want you to listen to this. They wouldn't even go to the funeral. And so the girl was broken up about it. The character that was in the parking lot that was ready to kill himself heard her story, took the gun out of his mouth, made a decision not to. Fast forwarding, we see him at home getting ready to come out. So he's come out in drag. He's putting his lipstick on, his eyeshadow, and he goes out into the public. People are cold to him. Nobody really says anything to him. Nobody really acknowledges him. He's on his way home, first time he's ever dressed up in drag. He's on his way home, and someone happens to smile at him. The character's countenance completely changed. He then returned the smile with an act of kindness by secretly paying for this young man's meal. They were standing at a hot dog stand. I've probably lost you by now, but I'm going to wrap it up. So the young man who smiled at this person who had come out for the first time ran up and called him and said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "You were the first person that acknowledged me. Tanya, what are you promoting?" "I'm not promoting anything other than sometimes we should smile, because you never know. Your smile may literally keep somebody from pulling a trigger. Your smile may literally keep somebody from flashing on their kids. Your smile, we should say hello. When you feel that little something inside of you that says, say hello to her. Compliment him on this or that, no pun intended. We should listen to that little voice. Call so-and-so. Text so-and-so. Send so-and-so a card. We should listen to that little small voice, and we should act on that little small voice and be the light in the world of darkness that we live in. Not afraid, because we have the light of the world. That's why we light up a room when we walk into it. And people go, man, there's something about you. They see your light. Don't let them see your light and then turn around and they can't find you because you're in the darkness because you're acting like them. Be a consistent light, you guys. With that, I am going to end the call if nobody else has anything to share. Thank you for calling in. And yes.
You cannot get off the phone and act like you and that did not tear that segment up yesterday. Are you not going to speak on that call? Like, really? I'm going to tell you something. I'm on a date with my husband walking down Bay Street. We sitting in front of See's Candy listening to y'all crying. You guys are natural. And Erica Blue's going to have y'all on. Y'all about to be regulars on there. I don't know if people know what I'm talking about. But, oh, my God, you bless me. I'm about to watch it again because now I see it's actually loaded on the page. Love you, Tan and Dion.
I have something to say.
Okay, say it.
Hi, this is Tarina.
Hi, Tarina.
I'm going to go back to the first question you asked, how do I be a light. I thank God for the job that I do have, working with the elderly and the seniors. I'm being a light every time I work, helping them out with their grocery shopping and just being there with them, being a companion with them, that can speak to them, talk to them, help them walk and everything. Also, a light also when I direct traffic, I say good morning, have a nice day to the people that's walking and to the drivers that goes by me when I'm directing traffic. So I had to say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tarina. And you know what? I can imagine that there are some people that look forward to you saying good morning to them because it might be the only good morning that they get. You know, or the children that pass by and you're saying good morning, the drivers dealing with the, you know, whether they're school bus drivers or whether there are parents dropping their children off. I can imagine that seeing you or hearing you say good morning to them, probably coupled by a smile. I can see you smiling now. Just probably shares or offers a ray of hope in their life. And so that's a blessing as well. Just in regards to this and that and the radio show, Dion and I had an opportunity to be featured on OFCAT Radio thanks to Nikisha Smith. And, you know, I have no idea what God is doing, you guys. I have to tell you, like, this week I have literally been scratching my head, like, what are you doing? I'm cool. I'm going along with it. But, like, it was amazing to be on that show. I don't know if that is still on or not, but it was just amazing to see something that was birthed in Dion and I. I was sharing this with my husband, Carl, last night, to see something that she and I talked about at least 15, 16 years ago. Not having a clue as to what it was going to look like, how it would be done, and literally now being in a position to be a light to people. It was an amazing experience to be on the radio show. I had no clue as to what she was going to ask us. But, you know, we ready at all times. And my favorite book says, in that hour, I will give you what to say. And otherwise, other words, you just open your mouth and I'll fill it. Because we have done the work with making the deposits. And we were clicking on all cylinders. And that is not something that I brag about. It is a gift that God has given us. And we have a mandate and a responsibility to share it with the world. Because ultimately, even with our, don't let our laughter and what you think might be, oh, they're so silly. No, we're not. We know exactly what we're doing. See, some people who, they call people Bible thumpers and, you know, super spiritual people. I'm not beating people over the head with the word or with the Bible or with my religion. People have had enough of that. They are sick and tired of it. What the Lord has given us is a skillful way to share the gospel, because at the end of the day, it's always going to lead back to Jesus Christ. How are you able to do that? I'm glad you asked. God gives me the power to be able to do that. Solomon said that laughter is good for the soul. When you can get people to laugh, you take their guards down, and you can subtly usher in the word of God without me saying, well, you know, the Bible says in James 1:9, first of all, they ain't even going to look up James 1:9. We do that for each other. You notice purposely for the last year, I've been saying my favorite book. I do that on purpose. Y'all know I'm talking about the Bible, but when I'm in a secular arena, they don't know I'm talking about the Bible. And when I say there's a passage from my favorite book, that's code word for there's a scripture text, sugar, in the Bible that says. That was a code word. Don't get it twisted. We know exactly what we're doing. We are drawing them in so that we can ultimately prepare them for the word and then direct them to declare victory so y'all can do what y'all do. We know exactly what we're doing. But everybody can't handle it. It's cool. It ain't for everybody.
Tanya, this is Diane. I just want to share this. I try to let my light shine, you know, reaching out to the community, to the convalescent home, because my mother is not here. She's in Southern California in a home. So I have a passion for those in a home, because a lot of times their family put them in a home and they leave them. And sometimes when I go to the home, the convalescent home, there's a man there. He just cries all the time because no one comes to see him. And he don't even know if he have loved ones left because he's left there alone. And God tells us, you know, to honor our parents, you know, and that means to honor them in their old age when they can't care for themselves. So I give back by going to the convalescent home to let my light shine, to let them know that somebody do care for them, somebody love them. And Romans 10:14 tells us, how can they call him to save them unless they believe? And how can they believe in him if they never heard? Hmm. And if they never heard unless someone tell them. So God called us with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, to go out and tell people about the love of Christ, to tell people how he gave his life. And that life, that light should be shining through us because he lives within us. No matter where we are, people walk up to us. You have an opportunity to share the love of God. Just ask God each day when you're out, Lord, give me an opportunity to tell somebody about your love today, about how you died for us, you know. And there's many ways that I can share with you guys how I give back and how I let my light shine. And I get joy just seeing a smile on other people's face when something is done in their life through me, because I know God gets all the glory. And I just wanted to share that with you guys, that, you know, let your light shine today. Do something for somebody that you don't normally do. Step out of your comfort zone. Share the love of Christ. Be
the love that someone is searching for today. And I just want to thank you. That's a great, great declaration. One that's needed. We constantly need to be reminded of what we're supposed to be doing while we're here on this earth. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you, Diane. That was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful.
Diane, thank you, sister. You know what? Diane just said something when she said about her mom being in Southern California, and so she gives back. And that's kind of what I'm dealing with as well, because my daddy lives in Kansas, and he's 75, and he's, you know, he's pretty much by himself. He relocated there with his job years ago. So I try not to let the fact that he's there and I'm here overwhelm me. I'm the youngest of eight, and we're all, nobody lives close. And so sometimes I wake up at night and I'm crying because I'm thinking about my daddy. So it's like, here I am in California, and, you know, and I love to be a blessing and help my bonus dad out, but then I feel guilty sometimes because I'm like, nobody is there for my daddy. So y'all pray for me, because that's another issue that I just need prayer for, because I know as he gets older and he's stubborn, he don't want to come, you know, to California or either move closer to any of my other siblings, so that as he gets older, he'll have some assistance. So I don't want him to be like the man Diane just talked about that's in there and he's crying because nobody's coming. So if you guys can just pray that for me and my family. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee, for sharing that. You know, I am a firm believer I don't know, the scripture escapes my mind right now. When we give, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosoms. I know that many people equate that scripture with giving money, but I take it deeper. And I take
it's in more, Luke, Tanya. It's
huh?
in Luke. It's in Luke.
Okay. I thought you said I was muted. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. It's in Luke. You guys, look that up. But given it shall be given unto you. I believe that it's more than just money. I believe it is our time and our service that we give. And Dee Dee, I want to share this with you. Just like Diane is making the effort to go and minister to people that she don't know, or that she does not know, because she feels compelled to do it. I'm going to challenge you to pray and ask God to send somebody to your dad, because you're making deposits here. I believe that you have the right to ask God to send somebody your dad's way that will care for him, not the way that you would, but that will be there to help meet needs and, you know, when he needs things done. And I believe that if it's a desire of your heart, when the time should come, if your dad needs somebody to help, I believe he'll make a way for you to be in contact with him, to either go yourself or that his heart will be softened to the point where he'll be closer to you or one of your siblings, so that you all will know what's going on at all times. And so you just rest in that, you know, rest in that confidence and begin to pray that prayer for your dad that someone will be put in his life, because it happens all the time. You guys are doing it. It happens all the time. It could be a neighbor or a former coworker or a perfect stranger who just God lays on their heart to do that, a church that's close by that has a ministry for the elderly or for seniors. You know, I'll say this in closing, there are lots of seniors who need help, but they don't qualify for in-home supportive services, which is those people who get paid, you know, a wage to go in to be an assistant to folks. And so they don't qualify for it, but they still need the help. And there are people in certain counties, well, especially wealthy counties, who can't do the work themselves, but they will pay people, not minimum wage, because I know of people who've done it. I know a woman who had a business and made hundreds of thousands of dollars in this business because people needed the help. But it just depends on what particular area that you go to. If you go to the hood, you ain't really going to get paid, although those people need help too. If that became a business, going in certain areas, affluent areas where they have the money, and you know, there's a way that you should think about it. You and Diane, y'all got something going in the East County and got something going over here. Anyway, with that said, I ain't trying to push you into nothing. Y'all, I got to go. I got a million and one things to do today and only have a few hours left to do it. I pray that you were blessed by the declaration and the dialogue that went on, but it's 7:54, and that'll give me 6 more minutes a free time to be able to do some of the other stuff that I need to do. Y'all pray for your girl. I need your prayers. Let's pray for one another. Let's be a light today, as Diane has already said. Let's be a light today as we wait. Yes.
Oh, I just want to say it's in the sixth chapter. Somebody can Google it, but I think it's the 38th or the 39th.
I think that sounds right.
I'm not sure.
That sounds about right. Yeah, but we don't, y'all grown-ups, y'all can look for stuff for yourself. We done told you where the book is. We even think we know where the chapter is. Y'all look that up and contemplate it. And I hope you are still reading the book of Joshua. Remember Pamela's amazing word that she gave on Monday? We were asked to read the third chapter. I've read that thing, and I'm telling you, I've been fed like a fat cat reading the third chapter of Joshua. You all, don't forget about that. Love you. I got to go. Have a great day, everybody.
Love
God
you,
bless.
Pam. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jesus.
God bless.
Hallelujah.
Uh-huh. Hey.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.